All right, well, welcome to the Vine today. We're so happy you're here. Who's going to win the Super Bowl today?
Chiefs!
Chiefs. See, I said Super Bowl. Hopefully they don't kick us off. The big game. It's supposed to be like this. Hang on. How about them Chiefs, right? Or is it going to be fly like an eagle? No? See? To the sea. Somebody knows. So, actually, it's me because I've already got this. I'm just kidding. It's happy birthday. We're good to go. I got to throw this away. Say hello to somebody. Going off camera. We're good to go, right? This is where the camp counselor goes through the crowd playing the guitar, saying, gather up. That's it, USA, Team USA. So that being said, today we're so thankful you're here as we talk about how to thrive in Christ in the book on 1 Corinthians today, because wherever you are in following Jesus today, we are excited that you're here, because maybe you don't know who Jesus is, maybe you have followed him for days, for years, for months, or you're just kicking the tires and seeing if Jesus is who he says he is. 1 Corinthians has something for you. And what's happening in 1 Corinthians, Paul is writing to the church in Corinth, and they have the very similar culture to ours, okay? Their culture is similar to ours in that they believed, you live your truth, I'll live mine. And it's a hypersexualized culture, and the problem becomes the Corinthians are becoming Christians, but they want to stay in their old ways and their old life. And so Paul is saying, hey, Jesus didn't die and rise again. He didn't live the perfect life that you couldn't live without sin. He didn't go be your eternal atoning sacrifice on the cross. He didn't go and be resurrected and leave an empty tomb for you to walk in bondage of sin again, but instead to walk in freedom. And so he wants you to thrive. And so that's why we're walking through this series, because wherever you are, no matter what season of life you're in, if you want to talk about politics, if you want to talk about church, if you want to talk about religion itself, if you want to talk about finance, if you want to talk about grief, you want to talk about loss, you want to talk about relationships, you want to talk about leadership, 1 Corinthians has something for you. Now, maybe I left something off. The only thing it doesn't have for you today is the game plan of who's going to win the big game. And it goes something like this. You throw to score, but you run to win. I'm just saying. Wherever you are, whoever has the most rushing yards usually wins the game. What now? Defense wins championships, but offense wins the game. I'm just saying. Anyway, I'm just saying. I played offense. That's why. I started that. Anyway, you know that. I'm offensive lineman, as you can tell. So 89 is just a jersey I wear. There's no way that I was going to be breaking out in that. And it's Florida State. Don't worry. We haven't been in a championship in Lord knows how long. So we have been in the, we might as well schedule Hawaii at the end of the year, because that's going to be the only bowl game we're probably going to see for a while. So that being said, for each and every one of us, if you've got your Bible, go ahead and get to 1 Corinthians chapter 2. And as you're getting there, I want you to let two people know today this. There is a place for me in God's family, okay? There's a place for me in God's family. There's a place for me in God's family. Let them know. Come on, you got to know that. There's a place for me. There's a place for them too, but there's a place for me. You have to know today, there's a place for me in God's family. And so as we go there, this is what we're going to talk about today. 1 Corinthians chapter 2 is this. They not like us. I'm just kidding. Don't get excited. We got to watch out. We got to watch out. Y'all can do that at halftime. We don't want to be get caught in no diss track lawsuit and get kicked off a church thing. But they not like us. And this is why we're talking about that. I'm going straight youth pastor, bringing culture into the world that we're talking about today in the Word. But here's the deal. Inside of Corinth, they have a spiritual elitism happening. Now, last week we talked about division in the church. We talked about they were saying, hey, I come to church because I follow this leader. Well, today they're continually divided, and they're saying, hey, my salvation story's better than yours, so I'm better than you. Hey, I know more Bible verses than you, so I'm better than you. Hey, I sing better on Sundays than you, so I am better than you. I serve more than you do, so I'm better than you. So there is a spiritual elitism inside the church where the church is now all of us saying to itself, hey, they not like us. And so how do we deal with that? And that's what Paul is going to unpack today, because in the end, when we're talking about the final score of everything in this big game today, Paul is going to say, hey, all that matters in the end is who you let score your life. Will it be yourself and your power, or will you let the one who has been victorious, undefeated, defeated death itself in Jesus Christ, be your final score? So that's the perspective we want to have today as we get to 1 Corinthians chapter 2. If you're there in the Word, if you're not there, you can get a free Bible. Maybe you would like one. We have them over there in the garden area, free for the asking. That's yours. Take it with you. Write your name in it. We'll be so happy for you to have that. Bring it back here with you next week. Grab a cupcake while you're back there. It is what it is. I won't be offended here at the Vine. We don't care about candy wrappers or package wrappers opening. You go eat that, get you something to eat, maybe make you some coffee. Nobody's going to be mad. If not, as always, you can follow along with us for free on our Vine Church app. Go to thevine.tv/app. It's in your favorite app store. You'll see a notes tab. You can follow along with us today wherever you're watching, but also wherever you're watching around the world throughout the week, our Vine production team will make sure in the house it's on the screens beside you or right in front of you, and wherever you're watching, it's going to be on the screen for you. If you're in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, we're going to start like we do every week. Give me an amen.
Amen.
Amen in the house of the Lord. So 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 1 through 5 says this, "And so it was with me, brothers and sisters, when I came to you, I did not come with eloquence or human wisdom as I preached to you the testimony about God. For I resolved to know nothing while I was with you except Jesus Christ and Him crucified. I came to you in weakness with great fear and trembling. My message and my preaching were not with wise and persuasive words, but with a demonstration of the Spirit's power, so that your faith might not rest on human wisdom, but on God's power." Paul is rebuilding and rehashing what he started last week. He said, hey, you can live in the wisdom of the world or the message of the cross. When I came to you, I wasn't the best speaker. I wasn't the biggest guru. I didn't have it all together. Instead, we preached the foolishness of the world that is the message of the cross. And to the world, Jesus Christ is foolish. Our hope in Christ is foolish. And so Paul is going back and forth with him and saying, hey, now we've talked about being united instead of divided as the church. So now we've cleared up the leadership issue. It should just be Jesus leading you. So why in the world are you continuing to fight about your story being better than the other? He's pointing out something we got to be reminded today. The ground at the cross is level. We got to sing doxology a moment ago, and we got to be blessed with that, and it just brought me back to old school church. Talk about that a little bit growing up. We used to hear that all the time. The question is, do we live it? Because so many times in our life, I will say in my life, in my story growing up, I didn't have that story. I didn't think that, man, my pit wasn't deep enough that God pulled me out of, or at least I thought. Hey, I didn't have this crazy thing happen where I had this crazy, I was, addicted to drugs and had these crazy things happen, bankrupt 18 times, had 17 lawsuits against me or whatever. I didn't have all that. Instead, I was blessed to grow up in church and meet Jesus as a child. And so I just kept disqualifying myself in the Lord and thought I wasn't good enough. So there are people in the Corinth, the church in Corinth, doing that. And there are others saying, hey, you should have seen the pit he drug me out of. But Paul is saying it's not about the pit he drug you out of. It's about the ground being level at the cross. Because that's the thing you have to live in light of. And the irony here is inside the church, people were worshiping their experience with God and walking in pride of it instead of walking in humility for the fact that a God that is Creator God would allow them to experience a relationship with Him. So as we go out in the world and we preach the hope of the gospel, we've got to be reminded the church is separated. The church is not like the world. The world is not like us anymore. Yes, but the question is, do we treat them like they're never going to be a part of Jesus' family? Or do we share with them how we got to be a part of Jesus' family? And that's the hard part, because sometimes I don't. They're Eagles fans. They're Chiefs fans. They voted that way. They said that thing. They have this in their yard. They have this flag. They speak this way. They do this thing. They look that way. It's Jesus or nothing, church. That's what we get to share. Paul goes on to say this for each and every one of us in verse 6 through 10. He says this. He talks about this wisdom that he shared with them. He says, "We do, however, speak a message of wisdom among the mature," more on that in a moment, "but not the wisdom of this age or the rulers of this age." Look at this, church. If you got this, highlight this, circle this, because this is what's going to happen if anything is in anything but Christ. "Who are coming to nothing. No, we declare God's wisdom, a mystery that has been hidden and that God has destined for our glory before time began. None of the rulers of this age understood it. For if they had, they would have not have crucified the Lord of glory. However, as it is written, what no eye has seen, what no ear has heard, what no human mind has conceived, the things God has prepared for those who love him. These are the things God has revealed to us by his Spirit. The Spirit searches all things, even the deep things of God. Paul is reminding them right here why it matters. He says the mature in Christ in verse 6. So if you're looking at that, it would say the mature. We speak wisdom among the mature. Who are the mature in Christ? Well, they understand the wisdom of God is only found in the message of the cross. It can only be found in light of the cross. Anything else doesn't matter. Anything else doesn't matter. I will tell you this. There are going to be people standing in line when it's all said and done that will have this whole big book memorized front to back and won't be in heaven. They can quote this word by word, and it does nothing for them. They have knowledge, but they don't have wisdom. Wisdom requires a relationship, does it not? It's one thing to know about somebody in this world we live in where everything's hacked. It's really easy to know something about somebody, right? But to really know them, you have to have wisdom. Wisdom is what you do with that knowledge. So Paul is saying, hey, there are those that know what to do with the wisdom of God. They live in the message of the cross. Just a reminder, last week he said, hey, there are two people in the world. They live in the wisdom of the world, or they live in the message of the cross. Those that live in the wisdom of the world see the cross of Jesus Christ, and they walk by it. And as they walk by it, they see those who walk in the message of the cross that are standing there at the foot of it, on their hands and knees, worshiping, living their life in light of it. The cross stops them right where they are because it is transformative. It's not something that you can say, oh yeah, there's this one prayer I prayed in church and that was it, so I'm good. I got insurance. No. It is a life. And that is what Paul is talking about here when he talks about the mature. He says, once again, I told you to circle at the end of verse 6, the things of this world are coming to nothing. Ultimately, the wisdom of this world, everything in this world itself, will be nothing. Believe it or not, it will go back to where it started. Nothing. It came from nothing. God spoke. It will go back to nothing. And so for each and every one of us, we have to be reminded so many newfangled technologies, as I've said, will pass. But the wisdom of God never will. But let's talk about the big game today. There's a lot of culmination that is going to happen today. As we just said, I shared with you, just really, it is a stat. You throw to score, you run to win. Jeremy was right, defense wins championships. You hear that a lot of times. They got to have the offense score unless the defense does. So there's kind of a balance there. But let me ask you something. How many of you today remember how many rushing yards the Kansas City Chiefs had last year? Outside of Austin, probably. That's about the only one that would know. But I tell you what, you probably remember the final score, don't you? He does. Exactly. He said he had it pegged right away. He said, don't give Patrick Mahomes the ball with a minute left, and you'll know better. So that being said, all the way through, I would say this. In the end, all that matters is the final score. You're not going to remember anything else. And what does the final score do? It gives you a reward. So if you want to know why in the world I'm wearing a jersey today and we're having fun in church, we'll talk about this in a minute, but that's why we have fun in church. Heaven's not boring. Heaven is a reward. It's going to be a reward. So here's the thing. Everything in this team's the season, the offseason, is coming to this culmination of this one thing. But in the end, all that matters is the final score. The same is true for you and I. In the end, the final score is what will we do with Jesus Christ? Will we reject him? We will receive him. There's not an in-between. You can't have one foot in with Jesus and one foot in with rejection. You're all in one way or the other. And this is what the Corinthians are struggling with, because they want to dip their toes back where they were while they're following Jesus. Maybe that's where you are right now. You're struggling with where you were before Jesus. You're finding yourself in a habit. You're finding yourself in something that is making you addicted. We'll talk about this more in a moment, but I want to let you know the only way to get free of that is Jesus Christ. That's it. And we'll talk about how in a minute. Paul's going to talk about how in a minute. He says this really quick in verse 7. We declare God's wisdom, the mystery that has been hidden before time began. Why did he do that? There's a little thing in between there in verse 7. It says, for our glory. Our glory. For our glory. This should be exciting to you. Before the foundation of the earth, God prepared a place for you and me, a seat for you and me at his table to be a part of his family. In spite of everything we've done, in spite of the times we've rejected him, in spite of the times we've mocked him, in spite of the times we've walked by the cross and said, I don't want to have anything to do with that. He still built a space and a place for us if we're willing to have faith and receive his son. For our glory. I want you to think about that. If you grew up in an old school church, I might be taking a chance here, but I'm going to trust that I'm going to be okay with this. When we talk about glory, what is the place we talk about for, that is glory? I heard it, heaven. I don't know. You should have heard the loud applause. I mean, somebody had a sign that said heaven. Y'all miss it if you're not in the house today. Glory is heaven. What is heaven? The place of our delight, the place that we long for, the yearning in our soul, heaven, the ultimate treasure. You see that after tonight, you're going to see they'll already have the t-shirts and the hat on sale, and they'll have a video montage. And what will they call it? The road to glory. Well, if heaven is just a Super Bowl, can't say it, big game trophy. If they spot us, Jesus is over it, it don't matter. We'll figure it out. We'll put it up online 17 times and they'll take it down. Whatever. If that's it, then I want to tell you, man, this life sure does stink. Because I'll never get to hold that. I may get to hold it on a console, right? Carpal tunnel all the way down, right? Working my thumbs out. I may be able to do that, but I'm not going to hold it otherwise. And if that's all life holds, then that's not the glory that I want. Think of it this way. I've heard it said this way, and it's an old school approach, but it's the way it is. Heaven is not just our delight. Heaven is like a song from a faraway land that you've never heard, yet you seem to hum every measure to. It's like the flower, the scent of a flower that you've never held, yet you spend your whole life searching for it. That's heaven. And the truth of the matter is heaven came down with Jesus. And you'll spend your whole life wasting it trying to figure out the thing that will give you the ultimate pleasure and delight. And nothing will but Christ Jesus. This is what we were made for. I think about it when we think about heaven and we search for that. And that's where we can all get stuck in our walk with Christ. As we think heaven, we get knocking on heaven's door. All you rock star, you got that? Listen. You're welcome. I had to take a break. Forgive me. Sorry, Lord Jesus. But it is, right? You're doing that. Heaven is something it shouldn't be. Heaven is better than that because we think that is our ultimate pleasure. Why in the world is it our ultimate pleasure and delight? Because we were created to be in relationship with a Father God, a Creator God. Our delight is to be in His presence, to have a relationship with Him, to sit at His table. That's what we are created to do. And we'll spend our entire life trying to sit at everyone else's table. The only table that matters in the end will be the table that is the one God created for us through having faith in His Son. This verse in verse 9 talks about heaven. Often abused verse. I won't go into how it's been abused, but I hear it oftentimes, but it is an encouraging verse. What no eye has seen, no ear has heard, no mind conceived, the things God has prepared for those who love Him. That's heaven. Greater than we can ask or imagine. See, often people think heaven's is Publix clean, Chick-fil-A service, Genius Bar all white. We think we're Apple Store all white. That's what heaven's going to be, and we're just going to be walking around like this. And I just want to tell you, man, oh man, that ain't heaven. That ain't heaven. Heaven's a celebration. Heaven is a place of victory. We are literally, Jesus has already overcome. You think we're just going to be up there? Yes, we're going to be worshiping Him, but being, hey, my pleasure. My pleasure. That's what I'm going to do. Hey, you want this? My pleasure. Oh, it's going to be more than pleasure. It's delight. It's something, it's a place where you go. Have you ever been on vacation? You hear this a lot of times when folks go on vacation And what are the words? Take me what? Okay, everybody said it. Man, this is... I'm going to have to play the drums. Let me check back. Did we strop the counter yet? Is this... Okay, we're good. Okay. Take me back. It's a place you go. Most of the time you think about it like Hawaii or Disney or a Caribbean vacation. You say, once you go, you don't want to come home. That's what heaven is. Because heaven is home. Parents, you're going to say this. You don't believe it right now, but I'll be honest with you. I don't have children, so I can live vicariously through you all and give them every cupcake possible today before they go, because I don't have to worry about a nap. I'm just saying, it is what it is. When they crash in the car, hey, let them crash out. You can bring them back and get mad at me next week. That's okay. But you will say that as your children get older. Take me back. The old country song, you're going to miss this. Hey, the days are long, but the years are short. So much. So much. You want to go back. You know why you want to go back to heaven when you're here on earth? Because you've been there before. You know the smell of the Garden of Eden. You're like, well, how's that possible? I'm here right now. Because you are more than just your physical body. You have a spirit. God created you to be in relationship with him for. So wherever you are right now, I just want you to think about this when it comes to that. So the real question is this when I think about heaven. Why do we like the good guys winning? Why do we love the hero? Now, I ain't talking wrestling. We talked about this Thursday night. Like, you know, I got to cheer for the bad guy. Ric Flair all the way. He's coming back for his last match. He's 90-something probably when he does it. But that's fine with me. That is. But why do we cheer for the hero in the story? Because we want it to be true. C.S. Lewis writes it this way. One of his ways that he came to Christianity is about that. He says, Jesus is the ultimate hero. We seek true justice. We seek a warrior who has defeated, who will make all wrongs right. True justice. Or the game's not going to give you true justice. It may help you if you gamble. It may give you a win. It may give you bragging rights. But it's not going to give you anything eternally. I'm not telling you not to watch the game. Hear me out. I'm just saying, as the church in Corinth was finding out, oftentimes they put their trust and faith in something that was greater than Jesus. They tried to make it greater than Jesus. So Jesus says, and so Paul is saying here, how do we know that we can live in heaven? How can we live out what we were made for? How can we thrive in Christ? In verse 9, he ends, for those who love him. See, those who love him. Jesus is the ultimate treasure. He is the prize. Now, here's the problem when it comes to that. Here's my question for you today. How do you love God? How do you love Jesus? Do you delight in him? You know, you and I were made for two things. Glorify God and delight in his presence. That's it. Those two things. So how do you love him? Do you love him out of duty? I'm not talking about a diaper change. I'm D-U-T-Y. Duty. Do you love him out of duty, an obligation? Or do you delight in him? Spouses, what if your spouse was married to you because of duty? When I get to talk to folks in premarital counseling, that's one of the things we talk about. You are together. Yes, you have a duty. You made a covenant before the Lord. But the only way this is going to work as if you live out that duty because you delight in your spouse. Some of you today and some of us, I've been there too. We can all be there. You live in duty in loving Lord. If I don't pray today, if I don't read my Bible today, if I don't journal today, God's going to give me cancer. God's going to take away my job. God's going to hurt my family. And I just want to say, where in the Bible was anyone who is righteous that you found in Hebrews 11, that hall of fame? When did they not pray? When did they not write in their journal? When did they not go through trial and struggle? That has nothing to do with that. That is duty and it is obligation. So think about in your marriage why it doesn't work if it's only duty. Because it's reciprocal. Once that obligation isn't met, guess what happens to that relationship? Bye-bye. Because I'm going to go find somebody else who will be obligated to me. But if you delight in each other, even when you can't get along, Even when you're fighting tooth and nail just to survive another day, that's when you'll stay together out of obligation, quote unquote, the covenant that you made together. So the question is, when it comes to the Lord, is that what happens? Are you delighting in Him? I will give you something, another little secret I think about today's game that will be true. The team that delights in the struggle the most today will win the game. The team that delights in each other and delights in the challenge will win the game. The ones who are there because of the paycheck, and you say, well, there's no way they're there for the paycheck. Oh, everybody has it. Listen, everybody's there for a paycheck. Your duty's going to start tomorrow morning at 9 a.m. or wherever your next shift is oftentimes. My prayer is that you would delight in it because the Lord has you there for a purpose. But I will say today, the team that delights in the struggle, the team that delights in each other will probably win the game today. So if you and I were made to do that and it comes to following the Lord, what does that mean for us? How do we know that we delight in the Lord? How do we know that we love Him the way that we're supposed to? Well, Jesus said it really clearly this way in John chapter 14, verse 23 and 24. He says this, "Anyone who loves me will obey my teaching. My Father will love them, and we will come to them and make our home with them. Anyone who does not love me will not obey my teaching. These words you hear are not my own. They belong to the Father who sent me." I really cleared it up, didn't it? Okay, I love the Lord. What is the teaching that He calls us to do? Well, Matthew 22, He says it this way. I think it's around verse 36, somewhere around there, 36 to 40. I'm going to paraphrase here. So He says this. There are two commands that sum up the law and the prophets. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength. And love your neighbor as yourself. You know why duty doesn't work? I can't love my neighbor as myself in my power. I can't. Not possible. I can't love my spouse in my own power the way that I can't, out of duty. I can't do it. It's not possible. You and I can't do it. Now, right now, I would say that about your kids, but I see parents of young kids are like, sometimes it's a duty. It's an obligation. We got it. I delight in them and I love them, but sometimes I got to get them out of the house for a minute. I understand that, but think about this really. When it comes to that for you and your my life, we can't serve and live out of duty and it lasts for any considerable. You and I don't have discipline enough to do it. We don't have a 12-step program to do it. We don't have the next greatest thing to sell to do it. That means that we must delight in the Lord. Why do I share that? I said this a moment ago. It's true for you and I in sin as well. Duty is religion. You and I can't defeat sin in our own power and strength. It's not possible. Ask the Pharisees and Sadducees, the religious that Jesus kept saying, hey, y'all try to follow me so hard, you tithe off your spices. How many of us are going to go to the grocery store today and whatever wings or whatever you're going to cook, you're going to think, all right, let me give this pepper to the Lord. I'm going to tell you, you bring pepper here next week, I'm sneezing. It just is what it is. It's not going to do any good with that. He even called them this. He said, hey, you try to squeeze a gnat out. You try to make a camel walk through the eye of a needle. Duty doesn't work. Only delight. Why does that matter? In your addiction, and I want to tell you, our hearts are tuned to addiction. We are all addicted to something. When I say addiction right now, most of us are going to a drug, porn, or alcohol. That's what we think addiction is. But addiction is social media. Addiction is career. Addiction is money. Addiction is status. Addiction is a relationship. Addiction is anything that is not Christ we can be addicted to. And the truth of the matter, if you struggle with an addiction today, I want to give you the key to it right now. The only way to beat it is to be addicted to something greater. That's it. That's why most of the time when you hear something is a gateway drug, it means that this doesn't give me what I want, so I move on to something greater and greater. The only thing that can help you defeat that addiction is Jesus, and He be your treasure. He be your addiction. He be your delight. The question is, what do you treasure most today? Look at the book of Job. We just went through it in our reading plan together that we're doing in a year, and I look at, he struggled. Everything the world would have said he treasured was taken away. All his wealth, all his herds, all of his family and his house. even his health. He begged God to just take him. And then the Lord goes to him and he says those famous words that I love, "Gird up your loins like a man and bring your case to me. Who are you? Were you there when I created the earth? Were you there when I put the words in mouth? Were you there?" And he goes through all these questions. And so that's what I would try to bring to you today is if you're in a tough season, God's not standing there from afar. He's there with you, working it out for a purpose. Many of us today, 5 years ago, wouldn't say we're going to be where we are right now. Yet when you go on that job interview, that's the same question. I've said it before, I'll say it again. You want me to give you the winning answer to that? Sitting in your seat because you trained me to do what you do and do it better. You'll get the job every time. You're welcome. There you go. You're welcome. Let me write this down. That's the wisdom today. I need. Write that down. Take that to the bank because it will pay. But the real question that Paul's asking is, what's the final score of your life going to be? Going to be in a game? Going to be in your job? Going to be in your marriage? Going to be in your kids? Going to be in your career? Going to be in the car you drive that's going to break down? The house that could burn down, could be swept away in a flood, God forbid, as we just went through with a hurricane, could burn down in a fire, going to fall apart? Or is it the one that is eternal? Because there's a place for me in God's family. But we started with saying this is about they not like us, right? We were all singing the song and we shouldn't have, right? Anyway, God the Father, God the Son, who is Jesus Christ, and God the Holy Spirit are the only thing, the triune God, that could ever say they aren't like us, because they aren't. They look at us and could say, "You're not like us, stay away forever." Before the foundations of the earth, God made a space and a place for you and I. Instead of leaving us separated, why are we separated? Because we're addicted to anything other than God. What is sin in itself? It is anything against the will of God. It is anything that is not perfect. And I don't know about you. I'm nowhere near close to perfect. You might be 99.9% perfect. I'm probably somewhere in the 30s. It's all right. I ain't worried about it. Jesus saved me. Ground's level at the cross. But none of us are perfect. So we can't live in duty and obligate ourselves enough to get over this sin. And so instead of God saying, "Hey, they're not like us. They not like us. I don't want to have anything to do with them eternally," he literally rips the fabric of time and comes down in his one and only Son, Jesus Christ, to do for us what we can't do for ourselves. To live the perfect sinless life you and I can't live. And I don't know about you, that is so freeing. Because I'm going to screw up today leaving the parking lot. All of us are. You know why? Because you're going to argue about lunch. And you're going to reluctantly agree to the place you really didn't want to go. And then you're going to go. That's what's going to happen. That's what Christians do each and every week. And if the place is Chick-fil-A, I'm sorry, you'll be there tomorrow morning first thing. They're not open today. But wherever you are, that's where we can get stuck. So Jesus does that for us. And because of that sin, death has a price. Or sin has a price, and it is death. There is a penalty that must be paid. And so Jesus said, "Hey, instead of you trying to figure out what to sacrifice, whether there's a sheep today, a goat tomorrow, an eagle today, a grain offering, instead of you trying to figure all of that out, I'm eternally going to be your atoning sacrifice once and for all. But I'm not just going to die on the cross. Man, I'm going to defeat death for you. And I'm going to rise again so that nothing on this earth is worthy of your affection or addiction because it's already been defeated." So the question is, what do you treasure? See, Jesus came so that we aren't separated from God. John 3:16 and 17 reminds us the famous verse, "For God so loved the world, he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him." God's not sitting there saying, "They not like us." Just sitting there going crazy about it. He's saying, "I made a way for you to be with me and like me through my Son." I'm not telling you, you and I are God. We're not. But we are made in his image and are formed in his image through Christ Jesus. So today, what do you choose? See, God's invitation is for us. He has this seat and this place prepared, but the beauty of following God is he gives us the freedom to make the choice. His invitation today has been sent out, and it is his one and only son, Jesus Christ. As the famous George Strait said, check yes or no. That's it. Are you going to check yes that you trust Jesus as your Lord and Savior? And the final score is undefeated. He's already beat it all. Are you going to check no? I'm going to figure it out, God. I'm going to work my way through it. You know, I'm not going to worship or follow you today. I got some things I got to worry. I got to sow my wild oats right now. I got to get that out of my system. No. Are you going to receive him? Because when you go on the field in Christ's family, man, the score don't matter. It's a joy. You know what the score is? Man, it's batting billions likely at this moment in time because it's already done. Everyone who comes to know Jesus as Lord is a score. It's a score. And we celebrate that. And we mourn those who reject him. That's why here at the Vine, we do everything we can to point everyone to Jesus. We try to make sure those who know him today are reminded what we live in light of the message of the cross. Today, we don't want to have divisions. We don't want to think that our story is better than your story or our way, our experience, our life is better than yours. No, we know the ground is level at the cross. And so the invitation is for you today to come to the cross. Come to the cross. Check yes or no. With every head bow and every eye closed, we're going to say a prayer in just a moment. It's not the words of this prayer that saves you. It's the faith that Jesus is who he says he is. And here at the Vine Church, we pray out loud for the benefit of those who are coming to faith for the first time. Nobody in this house prays alone. And so we're going to ask everybody to repeat the words of this prayer of faith together. So with every head bow and every eye closed, please repeat the words after me. Dear Jesus, I believe I'm a sinner, separated from you. I believe you came, lived the perfect sinless life I couldn't live, died the death I deserve, paying the penalty for my sins on the cross, but loved me enough not to stay dead, but rose again on the third day that I may have life. Take over my life, Lord. Teach me to follow you step by step, the rest of my life, the best way I know how. With every head bow and every eye closed, if you can say for the first time in your life, you have trusted Jesus as your Lord and Savior. You are tired of being addicted to the world. You are tired of chasing the wisdom of the world, the things of this world. You are tired and weary of looking for something you feel like you can never find. But now today you have found him through faith. You have found the one thing you are looking for, the thing that deserves your affection, the thing that you can delight in, that is Christ Jesus. I'm going to ask you to boldly raise your hand on the count of three if for the first time you have trusted him as your Lord and Savior, whether you're online or in the house. 1, 2, 3. Wherever you are right now, if it's your first time trusting Jesus as Lord, if you're online, you can shoot a raised hand emoji, and I'm going to tell you why we want to celebrate this decision with you in the house. There's nobody looking but me. We want to celebrate this with you. The reason that matters is because today is not your finish line. Today is not your hell insurance. Today is a starting block of your eternity. And the way that you grow and be who Christ created you to be, how you truly thrive in Christ, is being connected to a local church near you. And if the Vine's not right for you, maybe you can't make it here, you live too far away, maybe you're watching in Singapore, you're watching in Hong Kong, we have folks who watch in Australia, folks who watch in Sudan, believe it or not, saw that pop up not too long ago. Wherever you're watching right now, maybe you are looking for a local church. We want to help you get connected to Jesus Christ in a local church and thrive in him. And for the rest of us today, I just pray wherever we are, that we would just be reminded of the power of the blood today, that we would be reminded that the blood of Christ Jesus has set us free. Maybe we're in a season of addiction. We're in a season of seeming to fall back into our old ways. Today, I pray that we would be reminded of the freedom Christ Jesus has given us. So would you stand and worship with us?
Was a wretch. was far too wide. From the far side of the chasm, you held me in your sight. So you made a way across the great divide. Left behind heaven's throne to build it here inside. And there at the cross, you paid the debt I owed. Broke my chains, freed my soul. For the first time I had hope. Thank you.
All right, before we go, I know we're going a little bit old school in a way, But how in the world can we let a Super Bowl winning team get more loud than what we can give the praise to Jesus? So come on, on the count of three, we're just going to give Jesus a shout. Like, I know this ain't normal to hear me say it. It's because I got my Vine T-ball hat on. That's what it is. I get excited about that. That's what it is. Our Vine Church T-ball, that's what it is. So on the count of three, make as much noise as you can. I want them to think something happened. I want the red light to be shaking. We made enough noise. Okay, you ready? One, two, three. Yeah, come on. Give them a shout. Yes. Amen. Listen, church, every time we go in the streets, that's what we get to share. That victory. That victory. That victory. The blood applied. That's what we get to share. I remember where I was. It didn't matter how deep my pit was. It's that I was in the pit and I had no way out. Sorry, I'm not going to preach another message. So let's go out into the streets today. Let's praise the Lord in everything that we do. And we are so thankful for the privilege and honor to get to spend this time with you today. We pray, God willing, and the creek don't rise. I'm going to say it because I can, that he brings us back here safely next week, because we always have a seat saved for you, because there's a place for me and God's family. Have a great week, and always remember, the best is still yet to come.